Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Monday to you. Welcome one, welcome all to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. So glad to join you this Monday afternoon. For those of you that hung in there with us on Friday, we had to, at the last minute, run a best of due to some technical problems, but we are back, ready to go. Ready to get this bad boy running, and we are flat loaded today. We have OBJ talk, Cam Newton talk, Cowboy talk, Jets talk, Cardinals versus Seattle talk, Bears play tonight, World Series sound. Is it time to start trading some NFL players? When not to score a touchdown, and we're going to try to squeeze in some calls. We're going to do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Let's get this bad boy rolling right now. We're brought to you, of course, by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They'll take care of you with 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member, get a locker that backs up to a humidor. You get access to the members' lounge. It is one of the best places to be. Watch all your games, relax, chill out. Tons of couches, tons of places to relax. A bunch of TVs where you can, like I said, watch all the games. MLB, when the basketball season comes back, all the NFL games, they have all the tickets, they have all the channels. So definitely check them out. If for any reason you cannot make it down there, no worries. You can always go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. That's the website. Order your sticks online. If you call early enough, they get shipped out the exact same day. Like I said, all this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. They do serve beer and wine. Get your adult beverage on while you enjoy your stick. And like I said, let them know PLR sent you and you get 10% off. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today here on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It feels all warm and good to be back in this seat. And like I said, we're going to take a couple phone calls here, see what's going on. I've got a couple on hold. Seems like it was a long weekend, but it went so fast. When you got so much you have to do, ton of games to watch. Didn't really watch too much college football this weekend. Had the game before the playoffs start for my kids' basketball league. So I was immersed in coaching, and yes, they're still playing well. They won 5 in a row despite their coach. So props big time to those Warriors out here in Chandler, Arizona. But let's get started. Let's have some fun. Let's do this today. Call in number 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Let's go here first. Thanks for holding this in the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Well, I did get to see some college football matchups last week. I mean, with the Big Ten being back and all. So I wasn't going to miss on that. I will say one thing, though. The dumbest call was that loss to Penn State, which, because that two-point conversion never should have counted.
Yeah, you know what?
That was ridiculous.
A lot of stuff. You're going to have to fill me in a little, because I missed the whole thing. All I know about the Penn State game was, and I'm going to get into it with Todd Gurley, there's a kid that scored that shouldn't have scored, that tried to hold up, but I missed literally everything when I got back immersed in everything. It was all pro football this weekend, other than
right. Knowing
that Khabib won in the UFC and retired, and knowing that Rutgers found a way to win a football game under Shiano. So those are the big takes I took away, but
yeah.
I'm not familiar with the Penn State.
Well, Penn State was playing, not forget they're playing now, but they
Indiana.
Had the lead.
I know they played Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana. Well, Indiana scored a touchdown in the last seconds of the game, and they had to go, and they decided to go for two instead of going for overtime for the tie. So I'm looking at, and it's like, it seems like they knocked a pylon over intentionally, and like before you can cross the goal line. So I don't think it should count, and they were looking at the replay like four or five times to see if it was legit. I don't know what the refs saw, but I did not see it clearly as a clear two-point conversion.
Yeah, like I said, I've been in the dark on that, but Lou, I apologize. I didn't get to watch
dumb.
One game on Saturday, and I tried to get caught up on some things over the weekend, but then I got immersed in pro football and got immersed in the World Series, and that I did get a chance to see it and the crazy ending to the game
game
on
four.
Saturday night. So,
game four.
Yeah, so did not see the Indiana. I'll tell you this, though. Let's talk
yeah.
Big Ten in this, even though I don't watch the game. Who would have thought in a Big Ten football weekend that Rutgers would beat Michigan State and Indiana would beat Penn State in the same on the same day? Who would have bet the house on that one?
Not me.
That's interesting to see.
I would thought it'd be a blowout with Penn State and of course Michigan State, you know, would just whip the daylights out of Rutgers because that's how it's usually done.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else that's starting to get to me too. I did see, you know what? I take that back. I saw maybe about 8 minutes of Ohio State, Nebraska. About 8 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like I still have a problem with Nebraska and the Big Ten. And it's just a personal thing. I still do. I think they ran for the money, and I think it hurt them long run, and I think it's going to continue to hurt them long run because the Big Ten, as much as they are a Power Five and as much as they get the love for Ohio State, and if we really are just being honest and true with ourselves, Michigan is – national title good about every 15 years. Ohio
yes.
State is the cream of the Big Ten. If we're really just being honest with ourselves, and Michigan people can hate me for it if they want, I can really care less. The truth is, you are a 10-win football team, but you don't challenge for a national title every year. Only Ohio State does that. They are the cream of the Big Ten. So when Nebraska made that jump, I was thinking, was it for basketball? Because the Big Ten for basketball is a whole different conference. They're the real deal
right.
with basketball. So why make the jump? You left natural rivals in Oklahoma and Texas and Oklahoma State, and before Colorado made the jump to the Pac-12, which I still don't understand that one, you had natural rivalries built in. And where you did your recruiting, you were built in. And now you're recruiting in different places, and you're just not good. And they don't look close. Even
yeah.
with,
no.
I will go as far as to say this. The team that Scott Frost had at USC is better than this team.
Agree with that.
So I just don't get it. And just why, if you're a Nebraska fan, I don't
right.
know how you can honestly look me in the face and say, your team is getting better. They're not. It seems like their quarterback, Martinez, has been their quarterback for 8 years. How much eligibility does this guy have? I'm not feeling this team, Lou, in all honesty.
Yeah, I get it.
But that's enough for me following on Nebraska.
Right. Yeah, the Cowboys have just gone from bad to worse.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that a little bit more later. I got a lot of sound from the Cowboys, and they're just a tough team to watch. And I know I pile on Adam Gase a lot. I do. And I'm going to pile on Adam Gase a little bit more later. But
you do that.
I don't know if Dallas is that much better. I mean, if the Jets – play Dallas right now, would you feel comfortable betting on the Cowboys playing the Jets?
No, I wouldn't.
That says it all. I think the Jets would be favored to beat Dallas, to be honest
with
you.
They have. Because last year they did beat them.
Yeah, but I mean, but this year under Adam Gase, where they haven't won a game, I think, honestly, if they had Dallas on the schedule, I bet they'd be favored to beat Dallas.
Well, that won't happen again until, I think, 2023.
Unless both teams make it to the Super Bowl.
Not this year.
So,
I mean, that whole NFC division is pathetic.
It's 100% garbage. 100% garbage. You are right, my friend.
And we only have one unbeaten team left.
Go Steelers. That was a great game yesterday. The Steelers got off to a great start against Tennessee, which is Tennessee. And I've learned this about Tennessee. Scientists. But even though Tennessee came back, they're not a team that can play from behind. They got to either play even or with the lead, but what they do well. And Ryan Tannehill, though, has improved tremendously now that he got away from Adam Gase. They're going to be a tough team. They'll be a tough out. I'll tell you what, that's not a team I want to see in the playoffs when it's cold outside and you can't really throw the ball. I don't want to play them. Not with that defensive end they have out there. I do not.
Okay.
Not with that defensive end they got back there pretending to be a running back. There's no way in hell I want to play them.
Ooh.
No way.
That's
they're going to win that division.
Mildly.
Say that again, Lou.
That's putting it mildly.
Yeah, that dude is ridiculous. But let me ask you this question. You have Buffalo at 5-2 and a division that we thought would be better, but it's not. Pittsburgh at 6-0. Baltimore's right on them. Tennessee's 5-1. Even though Indianapolis is right on them, I still think Tennessee's a better team. And then you have KC at 6-1. This AFC playoffs with a Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Tennessee, KC, that's going to be a fun playoff to watch.
Yes. Not the NFC, though. Ugh.
No, the NFC is shaping up a whole lot different. A whole lot different.
Yeah.
But we shall see. We shall see.
Realign everything.
Yeah. No. Let the power out to slay each other. Yeah, no.
All right. Okay.
Seattle will be interesting to watch. Tampa Bay will be interesting to watch. Green Bay will be interesting to watch. We'll see what happens in New Orleans. We'll see what happens, you know, with Arizona and the Rams. So it's going to be a different feel, but it'll still be some good games. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So what else do you have for me, my friend, before I jump to commercial?
Well, just say one thing. That game 4 on Saturday, that's got to be one of the wildest things I've ever seen in all the years I've seen baseball. Does it remind you of Buckner?
No, because at least the ball just went through his legs. That was a wrap. This crap was, you know,
worse.
In all honesty, it was batshit crazy. First, you got Taylor who can't feel the ball. Then you have Will Smith. I don't know who he's sweep tagging. There was no one there to sweep tag. What was the rush? Catch the ball first. Tag. Catch. But
I forgot where it was.
Crazy. Just crazy.
Oh. Yeah.
But the Dodgers came
back.
I mean,
it wasn't for that. The Dodgers are the champions right now.
Yeah, and you know what, though? Here's what I say. You never know. What if that one game was different for Kershaw to pitch in? What if Tampa Bay did something different in terms of substitution? But that one game was just wild. It wasn't just the ending. That game was wild.
It was.
You know, it was – you score, I score. Okay, you scored one. Okay, then we're going to score two. Okay, you score two.
Right.
Then we'll score two. Okay, well, then we'll score one to pull back ahead. And it went on like that forever until that ending. So, nutso game. Very entertaining. This has been you know what? Baseball, the regular season, I was really worried about it. And I said, wow, they can't seem to get this thing right. But I'll tell you this. they got the playoffs right. They put them in those modified bubbles, and they let some of the fans come in to check out the games. And I tell you what, they've done it right. These playoffs have been done right. We had, what, 7 games with the Astros. We had the Braves coming out. They were a good team all year, only getting better. We had them pushing teams to the limit. It was just a good playoff. And it's been a very entertaining World Series.
That's true about that. All right, I got to come on, so I'll leave it at that.
All right, buddy. Talk tomorrow.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Lou. Always good to catch up with Lou, good friend of the program. Baseball, you're getting it right. Very entertaining. I'm going to sit for baseball when we come back from the break, get some of this World Series out, and we will talk about, remember what I told you about the Dodgers and the Rays. I'll remind you when we come back to the Cave Show.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with Pierre Law."
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to The Cave Show with Pierre Law. This is PLR. It is Monday, and we've got a lot of stuff going on. First, to let you know, if you ever miss any part of this show or this show in its entirety, you can check us out on KSRN Casual Sports Radio Network every day at 3 p.m. is the replay. So make sure you're definitely checking that replay out. If you're ever driving around and you're like, dang it, where's that show at? I know it's 1 o'clock. I know it's live. Let me figure out how to get there. You don't have to figure it out. Just go to thesportscave.com. Cave is with the K. Hit that listen live button, and there we are, live and ready for you. Also, if it's any other time and you hit that button, a plethora of our shows will pop up. So you can check out any show that you want. Check one out twice, maybe find that one that you like and you want to listen to it again, or you want to tell someone, hey, check this dude out. I listen to him every day. Feel free to do that as well from right there on the website. We definitely have a couple of our favorite, not good, but our favorite interviews there on the left-hand side of the page along with some of our favorite shows. So definitely check it out at thesportscave.com. Remember, cave is with a K. So I want to stick with baseball for a little bit here. The Dodgers are up 3-2. Remember what I said before about Clayton Kershaw, how I just like Clayton Kershaw, and if the Dodgers lose the World Series, I just don't want it to be his fault. Well, I think we're safe from that now. Kershaw has pitched 2 games already. They won the games that he's pitched. They're up 3-2 in the series. I said, give me the – until the Dodgers do it, I won't believe they can do it, so give me the Rays in 7. But I don't want it to be anything related to what Kershaw did or didn't do. Obviously, it will not be Kershaw's fault. So that makes me very happy to see him pitch well. He came out, he did his thing, which is just good stuff all the way around. So kudos to Clayton Kershaw. He knows what's on the minds of everyone. He knows what's at stake. I don't believe it makes his legacy worse in terms of, oh, my goodness, what happens if he doesn't do this, or what happened if something else goes wrong. I think it's more on his mind that he can now become a World Series champion. And he knows it's going to be grinding it out. He knew it wasn't going to be easy. The other night, or last night, rather, he wanted to stay in the game. He wanted to do more. He thought he could get more than those other two hitters in the sixth, but there was a plan. And I don't always agree with Roberts, and a lot of times I feel that he leaves Kershaw in there one batter too long. This time, you know what? Kershaw wasn't dealing. He pitched a good game, but he wasn't dealing. And these are the games sometimes that Roberts would leave him in, and Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, would leave him in one hitter too long, one guy too long. He didn't this time. And Kershaw just grinded this one out.
Fucking grind all the way through. It just wasn't I didn't have my stuff like I did in game one. My slider wasn't near as good as it was. So fortunate to get through there. And, you know, Doc and I talked about it after the inning, and I was going to go through Lau, and even though it was just two pitches. So stuck with the game plan. D made it unbelievable. Victor did unbelievable. Blake closing it out, and that was huge for us.
And Roberts came and got him at the right time. He stuck to the plan.
It was just before that sixth inning. I talked to him and just kind of gauged where he was at. And we agreed on two hitters. And I think that he didn't have much left in the tank. We wanted to get through Lau right there. And so, yeah, it was two pitches, but I didn't want to do the bait switch. And I just felt that was it, and I felt good with Dustin coming in.
Now, no one wanted Kershaw to come out. His teammates, you can hear it. The fans, and let me tell you something. Fans are in the stadium. They're not Rays fans. They're Dodger fans. I don't think I've ever seen a Rays fan, now that I think about it. You know what? I'm going to put it on my list. I'm going to find out what I could possibly see more. I bet if I watched the game, I could at least find a Rays fan. I've never met one in person, but I've never met anyone from Iota Phi Theta either. So, and I hear they exist. But I know Rays fans exist because they have a team. People go to the game. And you should be a Rays fan if you live in Tampa, because that's a good young team. And no one is being paid. And everyone seems to be under contract. So you guys are going to be okay. But the fans didn't want Roberts to pull Kershaw out. And you could hear it. You could hear him cheering. But you know what? Roberts, again, didn't fall for the banana in a tailpipe. He came and got him. Even though the fans didn't want Kershaw pulled, even though his teammates didn't want to pull, and Roberts knows that, you know, this team has Kershaw's back.
And I had real clarity, but obviously the player believes in each other, and I love that, but I still felt we had a good option with Dustin.
And now here we go. There's no game tonight. Game 6 resumes tomorrow. I'm actually glad Game 6 resumes tomorrow. I would hate to have to flip between a deciding game and a football game. So, one more to go. That's on their minds. Everyone knows there's one game to go. Kershaw knows there's one more game.
It's very excited, but at the same time, we got to win one more game. And so I'm going to keep it together for one more game. We're going to win one more.
Win one more. Just that simple. You got to win one more game. Yeah, buddy, that can only mean one thing. My Chicago Bears play tonight. You thought I was going to save all the Bears stuff for tomorrow, didn't you? That's what stuck. I know that's what stuck. Yeah, buddy. But new buddy, you're going to get a little bit of taste of me talking about those Bears right now, today, for the game tonight against the Rams. So the last couple times the Bears played the Rams, Bears beat the Rams. I remember high-powered Rams offense rolled in Chicago. A little chilly outside. Guess what? They got their butts back on that plane, and they flew back to L.A. This time, Bears go to L.A. Now listen. Don't be fooled. Don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Don't play three-card Monty. Don't fall for it. The Rams are very simple in what they like to do. They like to trick you into making you think they're a passing team. They are not. They're a play-action team. And you say to me, well, what's the difference? You're still going to pass the ball. But they play action. So they try to set you up because of their running game. Bears defense, they stop that running game. They stop Jared Goff. Now, there's two Jared Goffs. I know that. You know that. There's Jared Goff that plays on the road, and there's Jared Goff that plays at home. Jared Goff that plays at home is a whole lot better. He seems to be more accurate. He seems to have his legs under him better. Robert Woods, good receiver. Cooper Kupp, good receiver. Higby, good tight end. All of them can become null and void if you can stop the run. And their way to stop the run by their defense isn't just by stopping the run. This is the game where Matt Nagy has to let his offense go. The Bears have to score. They can play defense by playing offense. And the key is not to get all cutesy, not to get all pretty, not to get all, oh, we need 1 yard, so I'm going to run a triple reverse jet sweep. Don't get cute tonight, Matt Nagy. Play football. Score touchdowns. Put up sevens, not threes. Let the Rams play from behind when you know they just have to throw the ball. You cannot, let me repeat this, you cannot, let me repeat this, you cannot have a bunch of three and outs. You cannot allow your offense to be stagnant and make that defense stay on the field and allow the Rams to get a running game going. If you do that, you will lose. A 6-1 Bears team goes to the playoffs and battles Green Bay the rest of the year for the division. A 5-2 Bears team might make the playoffs. Schedule's not easy as it goes on. You got to get all these wins. And I'm not saying the Rams are a bad team. I'm not treating the Rams like they're a bad team. I think the Rams are a very good team. But I think this is a winnable game. The Rams have a lot to play for tonight. If they win, they'll pull even with the Cardinals at 5-2. If not, they drop a game behind, and they are tied with San Francisco for last place, which is third place in essence. So it's not like one of those old last plays, like Jets last plays. But at the same time, this is their game. They play next week against Miami. Then they get their bye. Then their schedule sets up a little bit tougher with Seattle, Tampa, San Fran, Arizona. I don't know anything about it. I'll get into New England later. Definitely don't have to get into the Jets because those are two very winnable games. But then they end the year against Seattle and Arizona. This is a tough game for the Rams. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how it all shakes down. But you know where I'm going. You know how I feel. I'm giving you this pick now. The Bears by 2 on the road. This is the Cave Show with DLR.
The Law Office of Carrie Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Carrie Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Kofi, and I don't go a day without listening to The Cave Show with PLR.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in The Cave with PLR.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
What up, everyone? Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Monday, and thank you for joining us. And you know what? I'm looking down, and I know I've done it again. I've given myself too much show to give to you in 1 hour, but that's okay. That's okay. We still have another day. We still have another day. So if I get too much for you, hey, no problem. That just means we add tonight's game, and we give you a little bit more. Make sure you're following us on social media, at The Sports Cave, on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. Cave is with the K. SportsCave.com is the website. Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly, LR, on sports, on the Twitter. So, let me bring it up. Let me talk about it. Let me get this out the way. I was talking to Lou, a good friend of the program that gives us a call all the time, on who would be favored, the Jets or the Cowboys. And I'm on Adam Gase a lot, and you'll see that in a little bit because I'm not done talking Adam Gase. But the Dallas Cowboys are bad as hell. They are a very, very, very bad football team. And there is just no getting around them at all. And their ineptitude on offense and on defense. And the fact that this is a team that not only doesn't play for their coach, they don't even play for each other. How bad is it that you give up an average of 38 points a game? And technically you give up 25, and that's almost a good thing? I mean, really stop and let that run through your mind for a minute. If you actually play better by only giving up 25 points, but offensively, you can only manage three. Your quarterback gets knocked out, and you have to go to Ben DiNucci to fill in from James Madison. Raise your hand if you've never heard of Ben DiNucci. I know my hand's in the air. In fact, if you say his name real fast, it doesn't even sound like a person. Ben DiNucci. It sounds like something you take medicine for. You're suffering from Ben DiNucci. He came in, promptly threw three passes. I don't know where you go with this team. Here's what's crazy. At least he averaged 13 yards a pass. Red Rifle Tomato averaged 3.9. Before he got knocked out, he had a passer rating of 36.1. Zeke carried the ball 12 times for 45 yards. That's it. That is it. That offensive line gave up 6 sacks for 55 yards. As a team, Dallas got 12 first downs. And one of them was because of penalties. 142 total yards against the Washington football team, whose quarterbacks a couple weeks ago put up 108 total yards. And Dallas gave them 397. Dallas allowed them to rush for 208 yards on 39 attempts at 5.3 yards per carry. And if you're doing that, of course you win time of possession. 36 minutes to 23 minutes. Dallas at one time, 3 years ago, think about how the NFL has changed in 3 years ago. 3 years ago, we were arguing who was the best running back in the NFL. Was it Zeke or was it Le'Veon Bell? Le'Veon Bell is now the backup in Kansas City. Think about that. And Zeke still has his starting job, but he doesn't even rush 400 yards anymore. This offensive line, which was at one point the best offensive line in football, has been decimated with injuries. And this team just seemed to have given up. You got your coach in the locker room trying to warn his team against the, oh, here we go again mentality at halftime. Mike McCarthy at halftime is saying he has to guard against the, oh, no, here we go again mentality.
Frustration, clearly, no doubt about it. I wouldn't say hopeless because that wouldn't reflect the men in the locker room. But, frankly, talked to him at halftime about the here we go again mode on the sidelines, and we got to move past that. That's part of making progress throughout the season. We need to learn from our mistakes. We can't keep letting our mistakes holding us down and holding us back. Because we obviously have made similar mistakes, different forms and fashions. But until we get the only one that's going to pull us out of the hole is us as a football team. So we got to be able to keep playing. Playing to win, playing not to make a mistake. I felt like I saw some of that today. I'll take a hard look at the video, as part of the evaluation. But, we're not cutting it loose. We look like we're holding back at certain points. So we got to execute better, obviously. And, we knew that we needed to play the game a certain way today. And we did not get that done.
And you're having a bad year when you start talking about we just have to push through.
I can only tell you what goes on every day, as far as the preparation, the daily communication, interaction with the players, throughout the program. It's we knew there would be adjustments throughout as a football team. We've been hit with a number of challenges that we're not pushing through right now. So we need to continue to work, and I believe we'll push through the other end.
And that's, you can always tell when a team is struggling by the things that the coach is saying to the media consistently, week in and week out. First off, Mike McCarthy comes out and he gives an open statement. And this tells you everything you need to know about the Dallas Cowboys right now.
Lost, disappointing division loss. I've stood in front of this camera too many times this year and spoke about the basics that we just haven't put together yet. I'll start with the turnovers. Obviously, they impacted the first half with the field position, and we didn't handle the adversity of it. The points off of the turnovers, and really didn't get the run game going as we had planned. And with that, they ran the ball too well against us. So, not a very good day. The unfortunate injury there to Andy obviously shifted us in a different direction offensively. But it's not what we're looking for. We need to be much better, and we're running out of time.
Okay, let me shift to one thing that he said. He said we have to shift a little bit after what happened to Andy. What happened to Andy is that Andy was blown up on a cheap shot by John Bostic. And John Bostic was kicked out of the game. It was a cheap shot. And I'm going to get into this a little bit more with the NFL and how he hasn't been suspended, and it doesn't look like he's going to be suspended. So I've said this before. The NFL is really full of you-know-what. Because they fine you for socks, but they won't suspend you for the hit on Andy Dalton. Buda Baker last night in game, helmet to helmet, someone. Ref missed it. He'll get a care envelope waiting for him in his locker room saying you're probably about $15,000 lighter. But the refs missed that. The refs didn't miss the hit. It kicked him out. But the NFL didn't mess it up. The NFL wants to be safer. But there are things that they just miss that they shouldn't miss. And let's keep talking about Boston. Here's Mike McCarthy on Boston and how the players, no one really got in Boston's face after the hit.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, I mean, a hit that caused a disqualification. But, yeah, well, I mean, we speak all the time about playing for one another, you know, protecting one another. So, yeah, definitely it was probably not the response that you would expect.
So a couple weeks ago, I forget which Dallas Cowboy it was, so forgive me. But one of the defensive backs, you can't go 100% all the time. What are there? How many players are there? Yeah, you can't go 100% all the time. And I said this last week. Listen, everyone and their grandmother knows you cannot go all out every single play. And every player in the NFL, especially cornerbacks, they take breaks. If the play is happening on the other side of the field and they know it's going to be a tackle and they see the tackle, they're not sprinting over there. They're saving that energy. But what you don't do is you don't come out and say that. Talked about this last Thursday with Ed Cole. You don't come out and say that. And for you to have a comfort level that you can come out and say that means you're not afraid of any repercussions from your coach. That's one. That's important. Two, you play for each other. So you're not going to say that and put your teammates in a position to have to answer those questions in the locker room. Does that mean you? Does that mean you? Is that part of the team? Is that part of the reason what happens? Everyone on Dallas right now is playing for their own individual tape. And you can see it. Everyone wants their tape. So when they go into the offseason, if Dallas says you're not part of our future, they want their tape to show how good they are. No one's playing for the star. No one's playing for Jerry Jones. No one's playing for Stephen Jones. No one's playing for Mike McCarthy. Everyone is individually playing for themselves. And if you don't believe me, very simple. Hit Russell Wilson late, you're in a fight. Hit Aaron Rodgers late, you're in a fight. Hit Kyler Murray late, you're in a fight. Hit Andy Dalton late. Well, you know, shit happens. No one got in the face of Boston. Nobody. That's weak. That is really weak. And I'm not saying you should go out there and brawl. You shouldn't go do all that. No one should take a helmet off anybody and hit them over the head with it. No one is saying all that. But someone should have said something. And no one said nothing about it at all. By not saying anything, you said it all. As a team, you officially said everything by saying absolutely nothing. And I know we're coming up against a commercial, but we're going to hold off because I'm going to stick with this Dallas thing right now. The next thing, you can't keep giving up points like this. You can't have a team that runs on you like that and no heads are rolling. Listen, in Miami, they said this. Why are we starting Tua? Not Miami, other people about Miami. Why are they starting Tua? Why not let Fitzpatrick keep rolling out there? Because they're winning and they're playing in a division for the first time in a long time. That's winnable. Why not ride the hot hand? And they explained it to you. Look, we think Tua's ready. We've seen him go, yada, 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 yitty, 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 bada bing, whatever. Tua's the guy. In Dallas, I'm going to ask you this question. You're in the worst division in football. There is no division worse than yours. The team in first place has two wins. Two, and they're not even together. So it's not even a winning streak. not even a winning streak. So you still have a real opportunity, to win your division. Anyone else in any other conference, if you're 2-4 or 2-5, you're pretty much out of it. The New York Giants are 1-6, and they could still win the division. What more needs to be said? So in saying that, Dallas, how do you justify keeping your defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan, on the payroll? Something has to change. You're not firing Mike McCarthy right away. And you're not firing Mike McCarthy, and I'll tell you why. It's not because he's a great coach, because he's not. It's not because he's this wonderful, you know, coach that's going to figure out how to make the world sing, because he's not. You can't fire him because you don't want to be wrong. If you walk Mike McCarthy out the door now, you basically said you were wrong in your assessment. You were wrong in what you needed. And Jerry Jones is not going to let that happen. But you got to leave one stinking in the aisle. That's Mike Nolan. You cannot give up. Your defense cannot give up over 30 points a game, and you keep your job. And I know a lot of people say, dang, dude, you want everybody fired. You want Adam Gase fired? Well, hell, everybody want Adam Gase fired. If it's just I'm going to fire him, and I've already broke that down for you. And I'm not saying fire Mike McCarthy. Because you can't just fire your coach right now. You have a backup quarterback who may not even be ready to play, so you got to go to Ben DiBucci or DiVucci or DiSucci. I messed up his name. I apologize. But your backup's backup is going to be playing. Can't fire a coach then. But on that defense, that's the worst discipline I've seen. They take terrible angles. They play half-hearted. They can't tackle. They can't cover. Corner technique is garbage. I could keep going. I don't have that much show. And with all that, with the backups backup plan, with the patchwork offensive line, with the defense where the cornerbacks can't play in good technique, where they get beat by deep balls, where they get beat by short balls, where they get beat in the zone, where they get beat man-to-man, where your linebackers are banged up, where your defensive line isn't disciplined, where your defensive line gets penalty after penalty, where your defensive line can't tackle, where your linebackers can't tackle, where your cornerback says no one goes all out 100% the whole game. With all of that, all of it, you can still win this division. With all that, you can still win your division. And you're holding on to a coach that's in charge of that defense, and I don't know why. I don't know why. It makes no sense. Mike McCarthy needs to let Mike Nolan go. Can the guy they promote or the lady they promote or whomever they promote, could they do a worse job? There are a couple teams in the NFL that are playing without any effort at all. Any effort at all. And the Dallas Cowboys are one of those teams. They play with no effort. None. Not even a little bit. And for that reason, they've got to leave one stinking in the aisles.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You heard it right there. Welcome back to the Cave Show with BLR. Isaiah Simmons, much maligned rookie so far for the Arizona Cardinals. Game-sealing interception. That turned the game around. They were then able to drive down, pick up a few more yards, kick the game-winning field goal. I shouldn't say game-sealing. I should say game-turning, as Russell Wilson threw his third interception of the game. And the curse is broke. The Cardinals have finally beat the Seahawks in Arizona. And I'm going to tell you something. What an exciting game. Their games are always exciting games. Always exciting games. In Seattle, they blew it. They had a 10-point lead. But I think they made a couple bad clock decisions. A lot of people don't realize this, but where you slide, when you begin your slide, that is where you're marked. Russell Wilson one time slid a little too soon, which didn't give them a first down. The clock was their friend. They then had to run plays. The more plays you ran, if you now don't get that first, you don't eat up as much clock. But you know Russell. He always gives the same answer. He took the blame for this game, though. Three interceptions he threw.
We had an angle at Tyler. Tyler had such an amazing game, you know, and thought I had a window. The guy made a good play. That was unfortunate. And, you know, I think that we just, like I said, we can't have those mistakes. It's on me. And, you know, and we got a lot of season left, a lot more to go. You know, and got to watch the film and do all that stuff, too. You know, I think that's – I thought we played a really solid game except for those three plays, you know, to be honest with you. I think we did so many great things. We battled. We fought. We did everything we could, and unfortunately didn't go our way.
Now, he also talked about they still had a chance.
I thought we took the lead there. We had some mistakes, you know. We had some mistakes as a team, and just you can't have those mistakes in close matchups like this. We had the lead, and kind of lost it there in terms of just not staying on schedule, and, you know, especially for us on offense. We had an opportunity to close out the game really kind of twice, and, you know, we didn't do our job, you know, as a team. And so, you know, it's a team effort, you know, and, you know, it starts with me. You know, I look at me first and got to be better, and, you know, I'm looking forward to being better.
I don't know about you, but both those answers are exactly the same. Russ is never going to give you anything. He's not. And the way he said it and the way he sounded just basically sounded like, oh, well, here we go. No big deal. We lost one. We'll probably lose another one. But we'll win a division. It's all good. No one's panicking. That's basically what he said. Big win for the Cardinals, though. See, I think this game legitimizes the Cardinals. I've been telling you all year, Kyler Murray's going to be a problem. And he went back to Dallas last week, and they beat up on Dallas, and Dallas sucks. We all know that. We just talked about it. But it was his first time playing back at home in front of everyone at Dallas, where he had never lost a game in a stadium he never lost in. And everything was there, and everything was going on. And so even though that was a national game, everyone said, but they beat up Dallas. He beat up Dallas this time. He beat Russell Wilson. That is a big, big difference. The thing is, what I like is they're just treating it, hey, it was a division win. We needed a division win. And that's what Cliff said, Cliff Kingsbury, head coach of the Cardinals.
On us, I would say. But it's a division win, and that's how we're viewing it. Come home and hold court here at home was big. That team was undefeated and playing really at a high level, and sort of takes a 2-0 in our division at the bye week where we can rest and heal up. It's a good point for us moving forward.
And Kyler Murray talked about the game as well.
I think it's huge, you know, for us to do that. Sunday Night Football against one of the best teams in the league, you know, somebody that's in our division, is huge. But at the same time, we understand what we have in our locker room. We understand the type of guys, type of playmakers we have. Now, like I said, to make that next step, and for us, you know, wanting to be the best, you got to beat the best. And that's just the nature of this game. In any sport, you got to beat the best. So, yeah, I think it was a big step for us.
And it was, and he said this week they're going to bye. Unlike last week, last year, he said he's not on a bye. Kyle said, I'm not on a bye this week. Not happening. Nope. We're treating this just like we have a game. We're staying focused, staying locked in. And that's big. Young guy recognizing all that. That's big. And yet, he scored another one of his Kyler Murray touchdowns, too.
Murray keeps it. And Murray dives and gets into the end zone.
I saw him make the fake, and I saw K.J. Wright right in his face. I go, uh-oh. And then he does what he does. This is the reason they've been so...
Yeah, that's the reason they're so successful. I'll finish it for you. Sound courtesy of NBC Sports and the NFL. So the Cardinals did it for the Cardinals. But I'm going to tell you something. Even though the Cardinals won, even though all that happened, this honestly stays in your mind. DK Metcalf came from nowhere. And tomorrow I'll play you the sound with Chris Collinsworth, and that sound courtesy of NBC Sports. Chased Buddha down, and Buddha can run. Chased him down. Most important thing, Cardinals got to win. Bit of bad news, though. Looks like Kenyon Drake, who hurt his ankle during the game, will be out for a few weeks. Good news from that is Chase Edmonds has been playing lights out. So hopefully that will continue for the Cardinals. Like I said, I knew what was coming to it. I had too much plan, not enough show. So tomorrow, I promise you to get in the camp. Promise you to get into the Jets. News and notes, OBJ did tear his ACL, so he's out for the year. We'll have more news on that as well. Got some NFL trades I want to discuss with you tomorrow. Not scoring when you're supposed to, I want to get into it tomorrow. And the NFL playoff format, I definitely want to get into it tomorrow. So we'll do all that tomorrow right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Make sure you're following us on all our social media. At the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram. SportsCave.com, of course, Cave is with the K, is our website, and you can catch me on PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. Thanks for the calls. Appreciate it. Until tomorrow when we come back, we'll do this bad boy all over again right here on BTR, KSRN. This has been the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and as usual, we say it at this time, temptations bring us home.